you know, can.
Roll away the dawn. Roll away the dawn and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty.
Petru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Petru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. This is Monday. It is the 3rd of January in the year 2005. Welcome to the new year, folks. And, I don't know what to say about that. New Year. It's another day. And, of course, it is the beginning of a new year on the calendar, isn't it? Actually, when you think about it, every moment that we live is new, isn't it? If we think about time as maybe not linear, but that every moment that we're in is all the time that there is. And that always reminds me that the choices that we make every moment of our day make a difference. They make a difference for us. They make a difference for everybody. We have a lovely guest with us this evening. I'll announce her in a moment. Before I forget, for those of you listening on the Internet, Darren Weeks, our webmaster at sweetliberty.org, has a Monday night broadcast at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can listen live right there from Sweet Liberty. He's on WWFAR, and tonight he's going to be talking about the tsunami. And folks, I tell you, I've got enough information here that I'm convinced that the tsunami was man-manipulated. And we won't go into that this evening, but we are going to talk about it. Let us begin here with our spiritual message. And maybe, Eleanor, if you would like to join us. Folks, if you would like to, the prayer for protection. The light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The presence of God watches over me. The power of God protects me. Wherever I am, God is. Yes. And our guest this evening, folks, we are going to broach a subject here that you may have heard Eleanor on other broadcasts. She has been on several. Eleanor White. Eleanor is a 63-year-old retired engineer. And for the past 8 years, she has been actively working to expose and make known what is called gang stalking. It's a little bit, it sounds to me a little bit like a misnomer, but I can't think of any other thing to call it myself. And she has a website. I would like you to get your pen if you have Internet access and visit the website. I've given it before. I think we now have you linked at our website at sweetliberty.org, Eleanor. And it was an oversight on my part and Darren's, but I believe that you're linked there now. Her website, folks, is Raven One, Raven like the bird, Raven and the numeral one .net, and that is easy to remember. She gave us a little memory jogger. Think of a raven, one raven caught in the net, Raven One .net. And Eleanor White. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, dear.
Well, thanks for having a representative for our cause on your show, Jackie. It's a great honor.
Well, if I were going to have a representative of your cause, I can't think of anyone I would have besides you, Eleanor.
Well, to be honest, most of the time I wish I weren't.
Mm. Or, and maybe you wish you just didn't even have to discuss this or be involved or know that this is happening, that it is happening, where do we start? I read some of the information that you asked me to link to. I don't do real good with, just reading off a list of questions. Let me do this. Let me just let our listeners know, folks. I had gotten an email from Eleanor some time ago and became acquainted with her that way through the email. She's called a few times, giving us a clarity check on the air. She lives in Canada. Retired military, aren't you, Eleanor?
Yes, I am.
Were you Navy?
Yeah, with the American Navy, doing engineering for them.
Okay. And anyway, when she started talking about the gang stalking, or, you know, just, it's, folks, it sounded to me so out there. And then I went to her website, and I was reading some of the symptoms or the indications that a person might be experiencing if they are one of the, quote, targets. And one of the things that jumped out and grabbed me was, amongst other things, like sleeplessness and noises and et cetera, but fake bird calls. Now, I had told Chuck about this when Chuck was still with me. It never happened when he was here, so I just had to tell him about it. And I knew it wasn't a bird. It would be a kind of a screeching sound coming out of the trees adjacent to the yard, and the one day when I absolutely knew, I had gone out to the mailbox, and I heard that screech from across the road. But across the road is a meadow, a hayfield, and there was nothing there. Halfway up the hill or a little further are some trees, but this was close by, and I looked over there and I stood there and said, what in the world is going on? And what was interesting, as I said, it never happened when Chuck was home. It would happen during the day when he was gone, never on the weekends. But what was interesting to me is after I discussed it with Eleanor, I have never heard that noise again. Eleanor, I find that very interesting.
Yeah, so basically, your listeners are probably saying, what the heck does anomalous noise have to do with gang stalking?
I guess so.
And at any rate, basically what many gang stalking targets experience along with the gang stalking is like a laboratory in metaphysics, which should trigger a familiarity with your experience in that field. There are two basic phases to the experience of being gang stalked. One has nothing to do with anomalies. It is simply very low-down, dirty, endless dirty tricks by ordinary human beings. And the second phase, which is separate and compartmentalized so that the human harassers don't seem to even know about it, are the electronics that are involved. And when I say electronics, this stuff is very advanced. We have four undeniable technologies which have existed practically since World War II, and these can create a lot of the anomalies, but not all of them. So basically we're talking about two phases, and the anomalous noises, as you were talking about, and these, by the way, can happen right in midair, right in a single room. Sometimes I get a wolf whistle from the middle of my living room.
You mean like...
That's right.
You know, two of the things that, well, I've been talking about bringing you on, as you know. And then I read an email that was sent to you by, I believe, a man in Texas. And he was describing, you know, what was going on with him, and that he had even had communication from the stalkers. And then that night, I was having the noises again, one was a real high pitch in my ear, but it had a pulse to it. And that is an ear that I don't have good hearing in because of surgery I had years ago. But when they did my final hearing test, he said, unfortunately, the only tones that you hear are the very highest, and they're out of the range of the human voice, etc. But this tone kept getting higher and higher, and when it reached a real high pitch, it actually started going whoop, 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 and then it quit. But what got me, that was actually, you know, sounds like it's in your head, like your ears are ringing or something.
Yes.
But the whistle.
Yes, they have an incredibly wide menu from which to choose, and they just enjoy doing it.
Well, I had that whistle that night, and it went on for quite a little while, and it was in the room. I know it couldn't have been coming from outside because the windows are all closed up. It's cold,
mm-hmm.
And it sounded right there. It was right there in the room.
Yep.
And
very common.
And I said, well, it's time. I need to bring Eleanor on.
Well, actually, in a way, you know, it's a backhanded compliment to your work on the show because you've attracted their attention for bringing out the truth on a great many sensitive subjects. And so this is the way they're slapping you on the back and saying you're doing
a
great job.
I'm getting my reward now, huh?
Yes. At least they think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, Eleanor, when did this start with? First of all, you know, Alan and is it okay for me to mention that you and Alan had visited at one time?
Oh, yes.
He had heard you on a radio broadcast. I talked with him, I guess it was this morning. Yes. And I told him you were coming on with us. And he, of course, he had told me before that he had met you. And I didn't know how. And I asked him. He said he had heard you on a radio broadcast. And he first of all, when we first talked about this, he told me about your intelligence, very highly intelligent. In fact, I think he used the word brilliant. So I want our listeners to know we're not talking to some cuckoo here. But he said that, you know, this has happened to a lot of people, naval families. Did you know this, Eleanor?
Yes, I heard that. That is really fascinating.
And I thought you were... like Army. I knew you were retired military.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought you were Army, and he said, no, I think she was in the Navy. And he said it happens around naval bases, and it seems to have happened to people who were in the Navy.
Yes, we have quite a number of people who are ex-U.S. Navy in our group. But let me tell you, the rate at which this is happening today in North America, according to a survey of 12,000 people who visited our site in 24 hours in 2002.
Say that again.
We took a survey in 2002, and our survey that we posted was visited by 12,000 people. A lot of people in just 24 hours. And what came out of that
The survey you were taking, who were you surveying?
Well, we simply posted the survey of the symptoms, probably the same one you looked at.
Oh, okay.
And we put it on a site who posts unusual news, so we got a lot of hits. And at any rate, it did an interesting thing for us. It gave us a good look at a lot of people from many different walks of life, and it turns out that about 1 in 100 of them are having most or all of the symptoms. So we're talking about a lot more than a few people around naval bases. We're talking about...
You're talking about 1 in 100.
One in 100, which means
of
basically...
Of the population here in the country?
Yes, in North America. What that basically means is it's valid to say that everybody probably knows someone who's being targeted right now.
However, you know what? You don't really talk about it to people, Eleanor.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I don't. I'll tell you what, I did talk about... The night that I heard the Jew's harp, it was so there, and it was after the children left in the summer. My windows were open. It was still August, and right outside, sounded like it was out on the road, and the house is fairly close to the road here, and I thought, oh, my God, a Jew's harp? And I thought maybe somebody was in a car parked out there and had music on the radio. And then it started to fade, like it was going off in the distance, but there was no car out there. And the man who bought the property across the road, they often camp up there this summer. And I thought, gee, maybe they're having a a cookout, and maybe somebody up there has a youth harp. I was hoping that's what it was, Eleanor. And so I saw him next time I saw him. I asked him. He looked at me and he kind of frowned, and I said, okay, I just wanted to make sure. And I did tell him about it.
Hmm.
But it I would say it lasted for 4 to 5 minutes, and then it faded, and then it started coming back, and it got just as loud as it was, and then it just quit.
Right. Did your dogs hear it?
No. Well, you know, if they heard it, they didn't react.
Mm-hmm. Because our members sometimes report that their animals react as well. So
these girls, a lot of times, they'll be looking across the road, and they'll be barking, and their hackles will be up. This has happened quite a bit. And I've even gone to the point where I kept a pair of binoculars handy so that when they would be looking over there and barking, I mean, they're deer over there, but they don't bark at the deer. And they're turkey. A couple weeks ago, I got up in the morning, and Tessie was sitting there with her head rested on the couch looking across the road. There must have been 25 wild turkey over there, not a peep out of her. But any time that they ever did that, I found or saw nothing over there. And mm-hmm. I actually, this was summer before last, this past, I actually kind of like was not hoping, but trying to catch something or somebody. Maybe they were in the pole barn over there or, you know, but no, nothing, ever.
Mm-hmm.
I saw nothing.
You've talked about Project Bluebeam on your show, and it appears that the technology being used by these perpetrators is of that degree of advancement. Yes.
Uh-huh. I would believe it. And this started with you 8 years ago, Eleanor, or longer?
No, 8 years is when I became an activist. It actually started in 1980 and hasn't stopped since, and it just popped out of nowhere. All of a sudden, I was being targeted around the clock. Didn't have a clue why.
And you had a lot of things going on besides just the electronics.
Well, yes, it's always a two-phase, two-pronged attack. One is conventional. In other words, your apartment and your workplace, and if you have a car, your car, are entered very frequently and disrupted to some degree almost daily. And that's the non-electronic side. And then on the electronic side, you get sleep deprivation. What I was hit with severely and still am are daytime fatigue attacks that only leave me with about 2 hours of time with enough strength to get anything done during the day. Very frustrating. And at work in the year 2000, I was actually taking a couple of naps every day out of my work day. I'd lie down on a foam mattress behind the mainframe computer.
But you were being kept awake at night.
Yes. Yeah, they do it both ways. They force you to be fatigued during the day, and then they keep you awake at night.
Do you still have the fatigue during the day?
Massively, yes. As I say, I only get about 2 hours to do anything during the day. The rest of the time I'm either on the bed or just barely functioning, trying to do things. But only about 2 hours of wide awake time every day.
Where do you want to go with this right now? I want you to take it. I was just thinking that our listeners might be interested in hearing some of the things that can happen. Remember the time I mentioned I got locked out of the house?
Yes, I remember that.
Well, and you wrote to me and you said they can do that, you know, from a distance. And it, honestly, in the first place, I am so careful when I normally leave that door open, but it was totally locked. And you know the problem I was having with my mic there for a while.
Yeah.
And it was driving me crazy. And I haven't done anything to it, and I'm not having the problem anymore. And you mentioned also that electronics can be disrupted, and you probably are aware of the problems that Alan and I have had sometimes.
Oh, yes.
Trying to get on the air.
Well, problems that you hear but nobody else does. That's another favorite.
Right, okay.
But about that door lock, there's another gal that I know in South Dakota, and she's also a Navy veteran, and she's been harassed quite a bit. So she keeps all of her valuables and important things in her office inside her house, and she had one of the push-button type combination locks put on the office. And she locks it whenever she leaves the area, even to go outside and work in her garden. And she's had things stolen out of her office while she's been right in plain view of the house.
Oh, that's just, yeah, that, see, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I remember one time you, in an email, you put out to your list, and you said, well, my cheese is gone again. And I thought, oh, Eleanor, this sounds so nuts. And I thought maybe it's better not to talk about that. But with the, some of the things that, and I haven't had, you know, the, quote, mishaps that you have explained, but as far as sleeplessness, and, you know, I chalked it up to Chuck not being here, but it's been 2 years now, Eleanor.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you mentioning, in fact, in a recent email that oftentimes, you were not able to even drop off to sleep till daybreak or near daybreak.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot tell you how many times that I have finally fallen asleep at 5 o'clock, 6, 7 in the morning.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter if I only had 3 hours the night before.
That's right. It doesn't matter how tired you are. It's just as if they can electronically inject you with caffeine right into your veins.
That's what you said. It's sort of like a caffeine a sleeplessness, and I guess that would be a good, because you're just not sleepy.
That's
you
right.
You just do not get sleepy.
You can't.
I've even, I bought a box of Somanax, and I hate taking something like that, and I've done it before, and even the Somanax wouldn't work through it.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Somanax wouldn't get me sleepy.
Yes, that's common. That's common. There's another mold, Jackie. I don't know if you've experienced it, but what they love to do is let us fall asleep for maybe 15 minutes and then pop us awake, but do so strictly on exact points on the clock, like exactly 1 a.m., exactly 2 a.m., 3 a.m.
Yeah. I went through a bout of that,
mm-hmm.
and it was 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
If I had gone to sleep, it was 3 when I would wait. And sometimes I would wake up, and I guess it's just different things that happen, because it seems to happen in streaks, where every 2 hours I'm awake.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll pick up my book as soon as I wake up, and I feel like I'm wide awake. I pick up my book, turn on the light, start reading, I'll doze back off again, and 2 hours later, I'm awake.
Absolutely, yeah. These people are real sadists, there's no question about it, and I don't have any doubts at all that they're being manipulated directly by Satan.
Whatever Satan is, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe a collection or composite of evil.
Well, it's just a word I use. I know that you have personal definitions that are a little bit different than mine.
Well, I don't know what Satan is. That's why I don't know if Satan is a, quote, being, or if it is an evil force.
Well, whatever it is, it seems to, exorcisms seem to work, so there's something there, clearly. It's a real phenomenon. It's
Oh, I see what you're mm-hmm. saying. Yeah. Yeah. The demon possession.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's well documented. It's happened so many times it can't be denied.
And are there ways that people have found to shield themselves from this sometimes?
No, I spent my last several thousand dollars building a four-layer. And by the way, I'm an engineer and a ham radio operator. I know what I'm doing in this. I built a four-layer shielded enclosure around my bed, which would stop every single incoming electromagnetic signal, even the strongest commercial signals from the transmitters nearby. And this stopped nothing, absolutely nothing. In fact, the perpetrators loved to play with it. They would bang on it and shake it and do all kinds of things during the night.
I know this sounds wild, doesn't it?
Well, you know, this is the end that I have decided as of about a year ago to not lead with when I discuss it with the public, because it is a turnoff.
Yeah, but
a lot
you're
of people
talking
think
to
we're nuts.
You're talking to Sweet Liberty listeners.
Yes.
And I know that they know that I'm not some kind of a kook. I know that they
you're
know
one
that.
You're one of the oases of sanity, Jackie.
Yeah. And so I know that, you know, we've jumped right into the middle of this.
Yeah.
In fact, I asked Alan if I should, his opinion, if I talk about this on the air, am I just going to step up their activity? And he said, no, probably not. You know, it's like I told you the other, that was all in the same day when I was, with that night that I heard the in my ear the pulse and the whistle that night. I was smelling cooking smells. And I do know that sometimes our olfactory nerves can get rejawed for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in the studio working here at the computer. And I hadn't been cooking, but I actually went out in the kitchen to see, did I put a pan on the stove? And, you know, there was nothing cooking. Nothing had been cooking. And it came and went throughout the day. And when I went upstairs that night, there it was again. And I said, I would like some lavender, if you please. Well, I didn't get the lavender, but I didn't get the cooking smell anymore.
Oh, that's good. Maybe you found a good countermeasure there.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, Eleanor.
But as Alan says, and as I say, too, from experience, it's not predictable what will happen when you discuss this in public. When I went public as an activist, I had one skit that looked like a mafia don was watching me and following me, but that's all there was. After that, it didn't get any worse.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it does, going public doesn't necessarily bring...
Let me ask you a question. Do a lot of the people who experience this, are they living alone? Or do you know?
They end up living alone because the people around them don't like hearing about it.
Oh, okay. Well, I had mentioned to Alan today that when the children were here this summer, nothing was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And right after they left, that was when I got the juice harp. And there have been a lot of times I don't respond or react to it anymore, but, okay, I would be laying there just getting ready to doze off, and there would be a noise, and that noise would wake you out of your getting ready to slumber. And sometimes I've actually come downstairs and looked around just because it would... You know, you get used to your house noises.
Mm-hmm.
But then all the time that Nicole was here, my daughter, nothing like this happened. And you know what Alan explained? He said they have the technology to tune in to your own brain wave frequencies. So that, he said, when you have people around you, it isn't as effective because their frequencies are mingling with yours.
Well, it's also they don't always want witnesses, although once in a while they do like to show off, but it's pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
What they can do, basically, and they've demonstrated this to me many times and many of our members many times as well, they can literally see through your eyes as if your eyes are a TV camera.
You mean from a distance?
Yes.
Okay, what do you mean, see? Oh, in other words, they see what you're seeing?
Yes, they've got equipment that can see through your eyes, just as if your eyes were a camcorder.
Wow. Well, on that note, we're at our half-hour mark here, and we are going to take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, do stay with us. And I know I've been all over the place with Eleanor. What we'll do when we come back is, if Eleanor has some statistics, some information, I'm going to stop asking questions and interjecting, and we'll be right back. So stay with us. Except there's one more thing I want to talk about, Eleanor. You're my guest.
What staff are you talking about?
I don't know. I mean, just anything, any information you want to share.
Okay, well, you might be thinking this is
You're listening to the FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, folks, we're back with Eleanor White. Let me give you my address again in case you didn't get it. And let me thank each of you, all of you, who have become part of this, because I'm hearing from new people. And, you know, this Chuck said this many times, that the broadcast has been kept on the air by a handful of people. Well, it's been more than a handful, of course, but it was like it was always the same people every week and every month. And we're receiving mail and sponsor donations from new people. And I want to thank you, all of you, all those of you who have been here for so long that you know yourself. If you haven't been here, this broadcast wouldn't be on the air. And it looks like we're getting some help, folks. And thank you, those of you who are responding. And just know that the broadcast is truly, literally, listener-sponsored. I wish we had a patron. I wish we had somebody who was very wealthy and felt that the broadcast was extremely valuable enough that if they had it like pocket change. But we don't, folks, so therefore it's yours, and it is up to you. And I'll give you as soon as I get my next statement from WWCR, I'll let you know exactly where we're at. Right now, I want to give you my address again. It is Jackie Petrou, P-A-T-R-U, P.O. Box 190, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, Millerton, Pennsylvania, 16936. P.O. Box 190, Millerton, Pennsylvania, 16936. And Eleanor White, our guest this evening, her website is raven1.net, R-A-V-E-N, numeral 1.net. Eleanor, for our listeners who don't have internet access, would you like to make your phone number public, honey?
I can't, Jackie. And again, the reason is that I can barely get what I need to get done in the day done.
I gotcha.
I will say this, that the site is available in every library.
Okay, there you go.
All listener has to do is take the word raven1.net to the librarian and say, you know, please help me call this up the screen, and they'll be there.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. And, folks, if you are a shortwave listener and you don't have internet access, if any of what we're talking about sounds familiar to you, or experiences that you've had, or a friend, if you want to get in touch with Eleanor, you can go into the website and find a way to contact her. Raven1.net. The one thing I wanted to mention, Eleanor, and I never called the lady at the fish store, but the day that I found my little Otto, my little goldfish, dead on the floor,
mm-hmm.
The first thing that popped in my mind, because there was no reasonable reason why it would have happened. And I do know, of course, that, see, I had talked about him when he almost died, and I found out how attached I was to him. And he and I mean, we were just buddies. And there he was on the counter there, actually where I eat at the breakfast bar. But there was no light on over him. There was nothing. I have never, in all the 8 years I had him, he wasn't a jumping fish. I understand that there are goldfish that make a habit of jumping out of their bowl, but Otto was never a jumping fish. And it was dark, and at night he went dormant. He got down towards the bottom of his bowl, and whatever fish do when they're, whether they sleep or what. But when I got up in the morning, he had jumped out of his bowl and was there on the carpet, dead. And I wondered if some electronic pulse or something had caused that to happen.
Well, Jackie, let me say that very commonly, one of the things that these sadists do is try to break up every single relationship in your life, and that includes pets, and they torture and kill pets. So this is right in line with their usual modus operandi.
So, yeah, because then you can get paranoid, and every little thing that happens, you know, think, well, was this it? But this wasn't a little thing, and it was totally out of the normal.
Well, they want you paranoid. What their ultimate joy would be is if you would start complaining so much that you'd end up in mental hospital. They'd love that.
Yes, because you certainly could, couldn't you?
Very easily. In today's overzealous psychiatric system where you're locked out as a consumer of expensive drugs.
You know, I can see why, you know, without your website and the core of people that now have websites and that are communicating this, I haven't even discussed this stuff with my family. Because, in the first place, I don't want to alarm them.
Uh-huh.
But I know what it sounds like. It does sound like you're kind of nuts.
It definitely does, and that's why they're getting away with it, for that very reason, because it's the perfect cover. Nobody can break the psychiatric system. Less than half a dozen psychiatrists are known to us in the entire world who we know of who clearly understand that this is a real phenomenon.
You mean there are actually some who do?
Yes, a very, very small handful.
Interesting. One of the things that Alan told me this morning, I said, he said, it's too bad you can't get in touch with the group in the U.S. He said that he had heard a woman on Tom Valentine's broadcast.
Yes, we actually have been in touch with her, Barbara Guyer.
Okay.
From Illinois, and I had been in touch with her in the past, but I haven't heard from her recently. And when she was on Tom Valentine's show, she actually was referring to our group.
And she, according to Alan, she said she had actual government documents to prove that this is going on and that it is a plan.
Well, certainly those documents exist. However, just let me say this in general. Some of our members are kind of over-optimistic about documents they have. I'd have to see them before I'd believe they were quite as good as she's made out there.
Sure, okay. Well, maybe later off air, if you've got contact information on her, maybe I could get in touch with her.
Great, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, I've got her phone number.
I mean,
number.
Just to touch base with somebody here in the States, you wanted to mention the U.K., what's going on in the U.K.?
Okay, well, so far we've been talking about the advanced electronics, and we haven't even touched on the other side, which is actually much closer to the experiences that people get when they're just beginning to be harassed. You're a little bit unusual in that you got the high-tech stuff first. Most people get the gang stalking first, and we were startled a couple of days ago to discover on the website of an international detective bureau a statistic from the British Home Office, and that's like one of the cabinet positions, that said that in the United Kingdom, there are some 900,000 stalking and harassment cases in the given year in the United Kingdom. Now, that is 1.6 persons out of 100. So that's even greater than the 1 in 100 that our little survey turned up in 2002.
And they're referring to the same types of things that we've been talking about?
Well, no, but remember, that includes all types of harassment.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the characteristics of these stalking gangs is that they put a great deal of expertise and work into making sure that every act of conventional harassment mimics the breaks of normal life, life's normal mishaps.
Except they go on and on and on.
Except you get sometimes several breaks a day that you might only see once a year. A good example would be you're driving along and some idiot comes out of a side road and screeches to a halt halfway into your lane. You have to hit the brakes. Well, our members sometimes have that happen 4 times between home and downtown. And that's just statistically impossible.
Yes.
But when you complain about it, oh, that happens all the time. You know, you need to see a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why they can get away with it, because they never step outside what looks like life's normal mishaps, and there is no way to convey to someone who is not a target of this that frequency makes a difference. They are absolutely closed to that possibility. So anyway, that's the statistic I wanted to say. That's a lot of people, 900,000 harassment cases.
And what are they talking about?
Well, we didn't have details, but the fact that there are that many and that it's increasing, we get a lot of people writing in from the United Kingdom. In fact, one of our activists is doing a great job over there. His name is John Allman. He went into Hawk for years to put up an $8,000 booth at an exposition that was attended by members of British Parliament. And he is making some headway. He's a very good debater. And at any rate, this is an international problem, but it's no more frequent over here in North America than it is in Europe and Russia or Japan. It's everywhere.
What is the ultimate purpose of this, Eleanor? Do you have, I mean, just an opinion, if nothing else?
Well, first of all, the fact that David Lawson, the author of a book called Terrorist Stalking in America, discovered that these gangs are highly networked and they're so well coordinated that a target is never out of sight of a gang member. That tells you right away you're looking at a very, very large coordination oversight of this activity. It's not just local gangs having fun. And what that means is the organization is big and it's covert. We also know from attempts to get this into court and from the way that we're basically harassed by police, told to see a psychiatrist instead of taking our crime report seriously, that these people have influence in high places. We've had women members turn in their husbands who are pedophiles to police and take their children to the hospital emergency room. The hospital emergency room absolutely refused to do a rape test on the child. And the mother was seized and thrown into the psychiatric ward and forced on medication. The child was given custody of the pedophile husband. We have 2 people like that in Ontario. So what we're seeing is that not only is this very well coordinated, it has a great deal of influence among very high-ranking people all over the place. It's seamless. Every level of government pretends not to know about it, and the most they'll tell you is see a psychiatrist. Now, there's only one entity that fills the bill for that much influence and that much perfection, and that, to my mind, is what is commonly called the New World Order.
What is their ultimate purpose?
control.
This is, I mean, but this is on an individual basis, for God's sake.
Well, Jackie, what they're doing is building up a covert version of the Nazi brown shirts, thugs who enforce the will of the government.
Well, we have German-American listeners that I have spoken with and might take, not offense, but what were the brown shirts?
My understanding of the brown shirts is that they basically were a kind of a political arm of the Nazis, and they saw to it that, before the SS came into being, that...
Have you heard Hans Schmidt on our broadcast?
No, I haven't, Jackie.
Hans Schmidt was an SS Panzer Grenadier.
Mm-hmm.
I won't take us off track, but there have been so many lies told about what was going on in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Movies that we saw that the SS was more or less like the FBI is here. They didn't walk around in these boots and clomp around and say, "Papers, please." People came and went. There was very high volume of, during that era, a very high volume of tourism. And they weren't under scrutiny, the people who came. I've read accounts, and I know that we can read lies. But, you know, Alan told me one time, when I asked him how many books he had read, he said, "Oh, thousands." And I said, how do you know that the books you've read are true? He said, "You're never going to get the truth all in one book. But if there is a thread that you pick up in different writings from different authors, you know that there is a thread of truth there." And what I'm saying is that I have read from various authors, and I've spoken to people who actually lived in Germany during that time. And so I think it would be good if, before we talk about the Nazi brown shirts, that find another. Talk about the USSR, Eleanor.
Okay, well, I bow to your knowledge. I mean, you're way more of a scholar than I am. I'm just an old beat-up engineer.
No, and not to bow to my, mm-hmm, quote, knowledge, because what I'm expressing here is what I have read, I have talked to people,
uh-huh,
and Hans Schmidt has been on the air with us, and everything that we thought that we knew, and I'm not saying that there isn't more about Adolf Hitler that I don't know, but I just know that a lot of things, and to keep doing that, I believe that we're promulgating a lie they want us to promulgate.
Mm-hmm. I'm only using it as an example, Jackie. I'm just trying to tell you the purpose of these groups appears to be to silence dissent, and more than that, this is a new phenomenon because it's silencing dissent with and still giving the appearance of everything is okay, life is normal.
Uh-huh.
And so that is my opinion as to their purpose, and they are extremely good at it.
That would be what they did in the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
They had their, they actually had groups of 10, and then groups of 100 and groups of 1,000, mm-hmm, but they had leaders of all these groups, and that's how they kept track of people, Eleanor. And so what they did, they wrote about Germany under National Socialism, actually what was going on in the Soviet Union at that time. And I beg your forgiveness because I took 5 minutes of our time. But I, until the jury is in, I think we should be careful to be promulgators of one of the biggest lies that's ever been told to us.
Okay, well, I'll stay away from that one, I'm just trying to get the story out, Jackie, because it's really happening here in this world, this year, definitely.
Yes, it is. And you know what? I just heard myself saying it. I read a book about what they did over in the Ukraine, and that's exactly what they did, Eleanor. They would have groups of 10, and there would be a leader of that group of 10, and then all those groups of 10, the leaders would go to meetings, and there would be 100 of them there. So you're talking 1,000 people right now.
Well, David Lawson...
And that's how they had control and knowledge of everything everybody was doing.
Yes, you're absolutely dead on there. David Lawson confirms that. He says these gangs are hundreds and hundreds of members. And
yep, that makes sense. So we're probably talking about the Soviet plan,
yeah.
The Soviet model.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it is, it's not good, and it needs to be exposed and stopped.
And isn't it a shame that, as you have said and is on your website, that a lot of the minions of them, the useful idiots, actually believe that they're heroes because they are lied to, the people that they've been assigned to target. They've been told that they're pedophiles or they're drug dealers or something like that. They don't have a clue.
That's right. I've had two hung on me. I've had prostitute once and pedophile once. And the fellow that hung the pedophile on me actually got some pages out of a porn magazine and took them over to where I worked and spoke very loudly to the receptionist saying, "This is for Eleanor White."
Oh, my God.
And he was my neighbor. I mean, his door is 3 feet away from mine.
And you did say also that they will actually rent houses or apartments near their target.
Always. Somehow they always manage to get in next door to you.
One good reason not to live in the city, Eleanor.
Well, it doesn't matter. If people have actually bought isolated houses out in the country, and within a month, there's another house right next to them, occupied by the perps. I don't know how they do it. They have influence like you wouldn't believe.
Uh-huh.
One of our members lived in Colorado, and he decided he was going to spend the winter in a summer cabin at an altitude of 8,500 feet on the western slope of one of the Rockies. And in that area, you get something like 15 to 20 feet of snow in the winter. Well, he hiked up there and got his supplies in and everything and moved in. And the very next morning, there was a brand new $100,000 snow crawler parked outside full of the perps.
Oh, my God.
They wouldn't leave him alone, even there.
And what did they do?
Well, they would make noise, they would party, with him they were using a lot of advanced electronics, so he was kept writhing in pain and so on. We have a fellow in the Mission, Texas, down near the Mexican border. He's a Mexican by birth. He went to law school and he discovered some, the Thomas Cooley Law School, I think it's either Minnesota or Michigan, he discovered some differences in the way minorities are being treated versus non-minorities, and he blew the whistle on this, and he got harassed really badly, and he still is. He moved back to Mission, Texas, and his children are being targeted too, and he's got children like 3 and 4, and he's got video of them writhing around on their beds in pain, screaming from this targeting. And there's nothing he can do about it. He bought 2 Faraday cages to put them inside, and they were worse inside the Faraday cages.
What's a Faraday cage?
It's basically a metallic mesh box that will stop virtually all electromagnetic signals in the range that could do the damage. And it's like the mesh on the front of your microwave oven, basically. At any rate, this didn't stop it, and this is one of the reasons we say that their electronics is far more advanced than the average college professor knows about. And when I talked to Alan, Alan agreed that there is lots of technology locked away in the possession of the high-ranking members of secret societies and so forth, and we're here to tell you there really is that technology, and it hurts.
Yes, Eleanor?
Yeah.
We have about 3 or 4 minutes left, maybe 5.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to tell our listeners, or, in other words, the purpose for us doing this tonight is to let people know, first of all, that it is happening. And I would think that the main, because I don't know what can be done about it, but the more people that know about it, and if there are one out of every 100, there are perhaps some of our listeners who have been targeted, who would recognize some of these things that you've talked about. And maybe the more there are who get together that have experienced it, the weaker the perps become. I don't know.
Absolutely. In fact, if the public understood this was going on, I don't think it would continue. It would be too risky for the powers that be, because there'd be a revolution. This is just incredible. It's the worst destruction of life outside of an institution that can possibly come about, and it's being done to 3 million North Americans. And if the public simply understood that it was really happening, that would probably be sufficient to stop it. It wouldn't bring about a compensation or anything, but at least it would probably stop it, and that's what we're hoping to achieve, is a critical mass of people that know about it.
I want to give your website again. Folks, if you didn't get it, Eleanor White is our guest this evening, and her website is raven1.net. And Eleanor, we talked about, you know, before you came on this evening, if we don't complete what you would like to do this evening, that we can do it tomorrow. And you're invited to come tomorrow, or if you would want to maybe come on another time and bring us up to speed as to what's going on, or is there more information you'd like to impart to our listeners?
Well, tomorrow would be wonderful, Jackie, or any time. It's always a privilege to talk with you. And perhaps tomorrow we could talk about the gang stalking side of things. And just let me say that on raven1.net there is a main menu item, which is gang stalking.
Okay.
And you can see specifically that facet of it by clicking there.
Okay, great. So you want to come back tomorrow night?
That's great.
All right, folks, we're out of time here. Please do remember that Sweet Liberty is brought to you by you, each and every one of you. And you will get my address again, and Eleanor will be back with us tomorrow night. I want to remind you that Reverend Ted Pike will be with us Wednesday night, and we're going to hear about what is going on with the people who were arrested for hate crimes here in Pennsylvania. God bless you, folks. And we'll be back tomorrow, and thank you, Reverend. God bless you. God bless. Thank you. Good night, folks.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website.